Lars Mittank went to Golden Sands, Bulgaria for a fun vacation. But what was supposed to be a week of relaxing by the beach ended with an event that nobody to this day can explain. Because on July 8th, 2014, video caught him running from something. And after that, he was never seen again. This is the story of Lars Mittank. Hi everyone, I'm your host Miko, and welcome to episode 65 of True Crime Timeline. Now before we begin, I'd like to give two super big Patreon shoutouts. The first shoutout goes to Shay. Now Shay, I'm not sure where you're located, but if you let me know, I can bring it up in the next episode. But thank you so much. And the second shout out goes to Casey from California, who was my very first friend when we were little kids in Pasadena. Totally cool. Thank you both so much for joining Patreon to access the past episodes. I can't thank you both enough for supporting the show, and I'm truly blessed to have such awesome fans. Now, do you ever have cases that just stick with you? Well, the Lars Mittank case is that for me. I remember listening to an episode about Lars on the Evidence Locker podcast, and it has haunted me ever since. That episode was so good that it actually inspired me to start True Crime Timeline. And in fact, today's episode was supposed to be episode number one, but I just never felt ready to release it. Now, some will argue that this case doesn't fall under true crime, since Lars has never been found. Well, I hope that's the case and he's still out there alive somewhere, but I don't know. What I do know is that what has made this case stick with me as much as it does are the videos. The video of his last moments just boggles my mind, and the videos of his grief-stricken mother really just breaks my heart. Well, I think I've said enough. So with that, let's begin. Golden Sands is a really popular tourist spot located on the northern Bulgarian and Black Sea coast. I looked at pictures and the beach looks absolutely beautiful, with its sparkling turquoise water. On June 30th, 2014, 28-year-old Lars Mittank and some of his friends decided to go on a week-long guys trip. They boarded their flight in Hamburg, Germany, and 2 hours later landed at Varna Airport. From there, they excitedly headed to the Viva Club Hotel. On the agenda was some beach time, swimming in the pool, relaxing, and hanging out at the bar. On the evening of July 3rd, the group went to a bar to watch the World Cup semifinals. Now, when you combine a bar setting with die-hard sports fans, there is going to be a certain amount of trash talk going on about the different teams. Well, that night, words were exchanged between Lars, who was a huge fan of the soccer club named Werder Bremen, and some other guys who were fans of Bayern Munich. Although the argument only involved words, the Bayern Munich fans made a comment about how it was easy to hire someone in Bulgaria to beat someone up. Luckily, it didn't get out of control. Since it was their last night in Bulgaria, they continued their fun and left the bar around 4 a.m., It was now the morning of July 6th. On the way back to the hotel, some of his friends wanted to first stop at McDonald's to grab some food. Lars wasn't interested in eating anything, so he continued on to the hotel by himself. While walking to the hotel, he got beaten up by some, what he thought were Russian or Bulgarian men. His main injury was from getting hit in his left ear. He thought that the Bayern Munich fans that he had argued with earlier had hired these men to beat him up. Lars made it back to the hotel, but his ear was hurting. He decided to spend the rest of the vacation taking it easy and hoped that his ear would get better over the next few days. On July 7th, Lars and his friends checked out of the hotel. The pain in his ear hadn't gotten any better, and he was getting really concerned about flying. He went to a local doctor to have his ear looked at, and the doctor told him that he had ruptured his eardrum, and then told him that he needed to go to the hospital located in Varna. The doctor also said that there was no way that he could fly in this condition, since the change in cabin pressure could make his injury worse. This was going to be a problem, because they were all scheduled to fly out later that day. Not wanting to leave him behind, his friends offered to stay a few more days with him. But Lars, thinking about his friends, told them to go ahead and go home as planned. He didn't want them spending money on new plane tickets, plus he knew that they had to go back to work. They didn't want to leave him, but he finally convinced them that he was going to be just fine. It was at that point that he parted ways with his friends. They went to the airport and he went to the hospital. There, to prevent an infection, the doctor prescribed him 500 milligrams of an antibiotic called cefuroxime. Lars had to go to two different pharmacies to get the prescription filled. By the time he was done, it was around 10 p.m. He now needed to find a place to spend the night. But the only problem was that it was summer and it was the high season for hotels, so finding a hotel with a vacancy wasn't going to be easy. He grabbed a taxi and asked the taxi driver if he knew any place where he could find a room. The taxi driver drove him to the Hotel Color in Varna. Around 11 p.m., he called his mother and asked her to add minutes to his cell phone. He also asked her to file a case with his foreign health insurance. She did both of those things for him, and when she called him back to tell him, something had changed. He told her that there was something wrong with the new hotel and he needed her to cancel his credit cards. The hotel had copied his credit card information and he felt really uncomfortable. She called the credit card company and she canceled his cards for him. Worried that he wouldn't be able to fly back due to his ear, she also booked a seat on a bus for him as a backup. He called her again that night and told her that he needed to leave the hotel. He again told her something was wrong with the hotel, but he didn't elaborate on exactly what the problem was. Around 2:30 a.m., he called his mother again. He told her that he had left the hotel and that four men were following him. He was whispering during this call because he didn't want the men to find him. Were these the four men who had previously beaten him up? No one knows. Between 3:05 and 3:15 a.m., he texted his mom asking, "What is Cefzil 500?" It seemed like he was referring to his prescription. Worried sick, his mother booked a flight from Varna to Hamburg. She didn't call him because she was afraid that it would make too much noise and he had told her that he had been hiding. So all she could do was wait to hear back from him. At some point that night, Lars flagged down a taxi. He arrived at the Varna airport at 5 a.m. Later, the taxi driver would say that Lars's pupils were dilated. However, I'm not sure how much weight I would put on this, since they could have been dilated due to his fear, the medication, or maybe this person's recollection is just incorrect. Once at the airport, he called his mother so that she wouldn't worry. He needed money, so he also gave her instructions on how to wire funds to him via Western Union. Worried about his ear, she asked him to visit a doctor located in the airport to make sure that he was okay to fly home. What's weird is that his response was, "They won't let me fly nor drive." And to be honest, I'm not sure who he's referring to when he refers to "they" in that statement. His mother wired 500 euros to him and then called him back to give him the wire transfer number. The call connected, but he didn't talk. She assumed that he had answered the phone by accident and didn't realize that she was on the line, so she hung up and decided to call him back later. When she tried calling back later, he didn't answer. Around 9 a.m., Lars went to the airport doctor. And from that point, I want to talk about the video surveillance from the airport. It shows Lars walking into the airport wearing a yellow t-shirt, jean shorts, and a backpack containing his wallet, cell phone, and ID. As he walks down the hall, it looks like he's holding something in one hand that some people have said is food. In his other hand, he's holding his Adidas bag. He appears to turn down a hallway that I assume leads to the doctor's office. Then, the video clip jumps to a point in the future where he's seen running, or more like sprinting, back out of the hallway and back towards the airport entrance. He no longer has his backpack or Adidas bag. The outside cameras show him as he runs outside the terminal, briefly stops, and then continues running along the side of the airport grounds. He reached an 8-foot barbed wire fence, which he climbs over and then disappears from sight into a wooded area. This was the last time Lars was seen or heard from again. Lars' mother went to Bulgaria to look for her son. And the airport showed her surveillance video that was different from the video that was later given to the police. She said that the video she was shown was from a different perspective or camera. It showed Lars running out of the terminal and then stopping, grabbing or checking his back pocket. It looks like he sees two police cars. He then slowly walks toward the police car, walks across the street, runs behind a pile of sand, and then jumped the fence into the field. She thought it looked like his moves were calculated, not random, and that he was trying to get to safety. The video that was given to the police appeared to have been cropped so that his movements were out of context and more random. Also, there appeared to be very little video available. He had been at the airport longer than the video showed. He had washed up and he might have gotten something to eat, but there was no video of that. They had tried asking for the additional video at the airport to see if they could identify anyone else who was headed to the doctor's office, but they were told the video was unavailable because it had been deleted. So, what happened in that doctor's office? There were no cameras in the office, so the only explanation for what happened inside was the doctor's story. The only problem is that the doctor changed his story 3 times, according to a YouTube video by Insolito. The doctor's visit lasted around 42 minutes. Towards the end of that time, the doctor originally said that an employee of the airline came looking for Lars. When Lars saw him, he jumped up and took off. But this version of events is strange, because why would an airline employee be looking for him in the morning when the flight was scheduled to leave in the afternoon? The doctor then said that an employee of the airport, not of the airline, came in, and that's when Lars ran out. Then, the last version of the story was that the doctor had no idea who the person was that came into the room. Now, why would he keep changing his story? And why would someone barge into an examination room to start with? Now, I'm not sure which version is correct, or if any of these 3 versions are correct, since there is no way to corroborate that another person ever came into that office. I can tell you, the whole thing is really strange. When news got out that Lars was missing, missing persons flyers went up. Also, the area around the airport was searched by people, drones, and dogs, but there was just no trace of Lars. Now, through the years, there have been tons of theories to explain his behavior and disappearance, but a few of the more common ones are as follows. Some feel that possibly the people who had previously beaten him up were following him and had finally gotten to him. Others think that the head injury may have contributed to some type of retrograde amnesia, which would explain him not reaching out to anyone all these years. There's also another theory that the pills he was given caused the change in his behavior, but I think that they had confirmed he had only taken around 3 to 4 tablets, so you'd think he would have come forward after they wore off if the pills were the cause. There are many more theories, but I'm not going into them because really, they're all speculation at this point. The important thing is to hold on to hope that he is still alive somewhere. There have been numerous sightings throughout the years, but none of them have turned out to be him or could be verified as being Lars. There's an active Facebook page dedicated to finding him called Find It Lars Midtank, and I urge you to take a look at the site for more information, even if you don't speak German. With more awareness of this case, hopefully Lars will be brought back to his family and friends someday. Lars Midtank was and is still blessed with a lot of friends and family, all who have held out hope all these years for his return. He was a huge soccer fan and liked playing sports himself. Back in 2014, he had a girlfriend, a job at a local power plant, and was super close to his family, often visiting them to help out around the house. His mother holds on to the hope that he is still alive, and hopefully, her prayers will be answered someday. You will never be forgotten, Lars Midtank. So that's a wrap. Thank you so much for listening. Check out the True Crime Timeline Instagram page and Facebook group for pictures about the episode. Also, please check out the Facebook page, Find It Lars Midtank. I'd also like to thank and acknowledge the many sources that were used for this episode. This podcast would not be possible without these sources. And there are two in particular that I wanted to highlight. One is the Evidence Locker podcast. A big thank you for introducing me to this case years ago. If you haven't checked out this podcast, please do. And the second source that I want to highlight is the YouTube video by Insolito. I heard new things about this case that I never knew before. Now, if you'd like a list of the sources, want to request a case, or just say hello, leave us a message at truecrimetimeline.com. So with that, take care and stay safe, everyone.